And our God is such, is so worthy of our praise, and to have such a gratitude, a heart of gratitude, when we meet the Lord, when God, we come to Him in humility. Because of who He is. I was talking to Jimmy today, or I think it was Tuesday, and he was telling me about this person who quite a celebrity in their own right, and this person had called them by their first name. And she politely said, "You don't know me well enough to call me by my first name. Call me Miss Angelo." And she said it wasn't rude. It was just telling this young child that they needed to acknowledge and be respectful of her. And I think about that when we come before the Lord. What is it when we come before the Lord? How are we supposed to entreat Him? What is it that we do? Do we feel we have an obligation to pray and just get it over with? I got to get my 15 minutes in, my 10 minutes in, you know? Or do we really realize we're before the God who created heaven and earth? That it is actually, we are in front of an almighty God. If we really knew that, we really knew that God was present in the very room that we were praying in, whether it be the bedroom, whether it be the dining room, whether it be in this room, what should our posture be? I mean, it's if He says He inhabits the praises of His people, what should it be? Sometimes David danced, sometimes David knelt, sometimes David wept, sometimes. Whatever God calls you to, make sure that when you're in the presence of an almighty God, you give Him His due, whatever He's asking for. And be so in tune with His heart that you know that. Continuing the series on spiritual warfare, I want you to know that during this time, probably there's not a more significant thing that's happening in the earth. And I'm not talking just about the United States. I'm not just talking about Texas. I'm talking about worldwide. There's probably nothing more relevant happening than spiritual warfare. There's someone vying for their part of what for people's souls. And if they can get people's souls and win the war than they have successfully manipulated us into giving up. And we who are on the winning side, I've read the end of the book, you've read the end of the book, you know who's supposed to win, then you know that we have an active part in who wins. This is not a spectator sport. This is one who we are either all in. This is not halfway in and halfway out. We either all in, we are all participators in this, vying for the things of God, or we're not. You can't do this half-hearted. Because a half a truth is a whole lie. Understand that. A half a truth is a whole lie. So understand that when Satan comes to tell you half a truth, he does all the time, it's a whole lie. If he can get you to weigh in on that, then he's got you. And so, be diligent about the things that God is telling you. And so, have you ever heard the phrase, loose lips sink ships? Back in World War II, that was a phrase when that thing came up. And what happened was spies were all around. And so people didn't know who they were talking to. And so this phrase came up, and it says, be careful who you talk to. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful that what you are doing and saying doesn't cause that you're giving away information that's going to cost us ships and our strategy to attack the enemy. And so he was saying, loose lips sink ships. And so what else was happening is that these loose lips also bred discontentment among the ranks, among the troops. It also produced a division, and it destroyed solidarity among the troops. Isn't it amazing how we think our actions tend to be more effective than our speech? But our actions come out of our speech. First we think it, then we speak it, and then we do it. That's the line of progression. First we think it, then we speak it, and then we do it. That's called temptation. We can think it and squash it, but we think it, then we speak it, and we still squash it, but then we do it. But if we ever get it to the second phase, Satan can take it the rest of the way. Loose lips sink ships. It's true. It's true in war. It's true in congregations. It's true with any place that have people involved. It's true in families. Loose lips sink families. It sinks congregations. It sinks clubs. It sinks anything that where discontentment can breed. And the Word of God talks specifically about how what we say has such power in the life of a Christian. In Psalms 141, verse 3, it says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." He actually tells God in this psalm, "Set a guard over my mouth." Have any of you ever needed that? Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just I'm the one. I'm the one that, hey, Angela does. I'll have to admit she does too. Yeah. You know, you got to think. Set a guard over my mouth. I'm surprised I don't have athlete's foot in my mouth because my foot's always in there. I'm always going, oh, why did I say that? And you know what gets me? This is my downfall. I'm just trying to be funny. I'm going, you're not funny, Arthur. Stay in your lane. Be compassionate. There's where you should be. Don't try to be funny. Just be compassionate. I'm going, oh, man. Oh. Proverbs 6:2. This is what happens next. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You're snared by the words of your mouth. Oh man. People love to talk. And they shouldn't. You get into a counseling session. And all you got to do is be quiet for the first 15 minutes. And people just talk and talk and talk and talk. And all you got to do is just take mental notes and say, well, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong in these counseling sessions. Because the reality is they're going to give up in their heart because out of the heart the mouth speaks. They're going to say what they're thinking and what they're feeling. People love to vent what they're feeling. Now, in this, people are snared by their words. First of the year, January. How many of you made resolutions? I'm going to work out every day this week. Every day of the week I'm going to work out. Did you get snared? And then the first time that you didn't, you felt bad. Okay. I'm going to work out 3 times a week. 2 times a week. I forget it. You got snared. And so, what is it that we get snared by? We got snared by the words. Isn't it amazing that the words that are in our heart snare us? And when they come back to bite us, you know who's the best at that? Our children. Our children. But Dad, you said, shut up, kid. That wasn't meant for you to come back and tell me what I said. Do what I told you to do, not what I said for me to do. Just do that. We need to make sure that we live what we speak. James, we're going to read 2 versions of this. We're going to read the King James Version, and then we're going to read the Amplified Version. The tongue is a fire. Isn't that great? a world of iniquity, so is a tongue among our members that is defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. Let's read the Amplified Version. Starting with verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Still, it's a small little part of our body. And it can boast of great things. Yeah, I've been around people like that. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body, and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell. Such a small member of our body, but yet it has the ability to set on fire. It has the ability to make a spark into our body and condemn us. And set something ablaze that just in the political, oh my gosh, in the political arena, it happens all the time. They have recordings of it, and they will play it. The opposite will play. The opposite party will play it. Well, this is what they said here, and now this. Look at what they're doing. I feel so sorry for Trump at times because he just speaks off the cuff. He gets himself in trouble all the time. Look, just stay in your lane. He needs a keeper. He really does. He should have a keeper. And I think people try, but he doesn't want one. Now, the other side is not any better. Biden needs a keeper too, to remind him what to say. Look, you're not getting up there and showing yourself worthy of the office. It's a small thing, but it sets on fire. Put a guard over your mouth. Now, if our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, who is really doing the snaring here? It's the devil. So, do you think he's pretty diligent about his job? Oh, absolutely. So, do you think that he's probably trying to record everything that you say to use it against you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. He's trying to get you to ensnare yourself and to use that. Now, let me tell you this. God is still in control. God saves you. God saves me more than I can count. Man, I shouldn't have said that. And God's mercy and His grace comes and sweeps up all the stuff, all the mistakes that I make. And He does. But once I get too loosey-goosey, He goes, son, I'm going to have to let you go this time and let you get in trouble. Because what is Satan meant to do? To eat my flesh. He is to eat my flesh, and so therefore he lets me go, and so therefore I get in trouble. And he said, I told you. I told you, son, you should keep a watch over your mouth. And you haven't been doing that. So, be careful. So, just like the Israelites, yes, God, we love you, we love you, we love you. I guess now we can go build an idol to ourselves. Okay, God, we'll straighten up. So fickle. God says, no. Follow me. I will be there with you. Our tongue is able to bring the purposes. To bring purposes are set by what we speak and by what we pray. The purposes of God are set by what we speak and by what we pray. What you say and what you speak. I'm going to use you as an example. When we were talking, they built this place over in Del Rio, and there was a conversation that you guys had before it ever happened. And y'all probably sitting at your dining room table, and y'all probably said, okay, we want to reach, I don't know how the conversation went, I'm making this up. But probably went something like, we want to retire to Del Rio, might as well start this place, and so we need to make plans, and this is what we want in this place. And so there was a plan, there was a purpose, and then there was action. For whatever the conversation, however the conversation went. But you spoke it first. And that ignited a spark to get something done. Speaking and praying gets things done. Speaking and praying gets what you want to do. I can tell you about this man. Things that he did in his house. It didn't come without a plan. It didn't come without a conversation with his wife. Sharon told me about something she wanted to do to our house. And something that I had never heard before last night. She said, yeah, I've always wanted to take that all out. I'm going, never heard of it, ever. Why would you want to do that? She said, now, we didn't get to that part of the conversation, but I had never heard that. You see, it starts with a conversation. It starts by speaking the plan. We're probably now in the praying part of that conversation. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan, the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Isn't this great? There was a plan that God had before the beginning of time. And so now, in Ephesians, he says, now is that time to be birthed into the earth. And you know what that plan was? For the Ephesians, for the Gentiles to be able to get saved. First, it was just Jewish people. But now, it's time for the Gentiles to be able to come to Christ. Who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, who's the church? Everybody point to yourself. I'm the church. That through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known. We are to make known You, the church, are to make known. How do we make things known? Remember last night? I never knew. Until Sharon let me know that she wanted something done to the house. How did she do that? I want Arthur to know. She didn't do it through telekinetics. She didn't do that. She did it by speaking her thoughts. Get it? She told me. I want you to know this is very important. The many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known. That's us making known. To who? Who makes this known? We make known to who? To the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. You see, Jesus, God, didn't make this known to anyone else. He made it known to us. He made it known to you through this, through the Word of God and through revelation, through the Holy Spirit. This is the truth of the Word of God through the Logos, the Word, and through Rhema, through the Holy Spirit, revelation. He makes this known to you. If you are saved, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, then God is speaking to you mysteries and things that you've never known before. So that what? You may make known to angelic spirits. You may make known unto the things that they don't know. You see, we give angels far too much credit. We give angels far too much prowess. They are to be doing our bidding. We think angels should know what to do. They don't. They are to do our bidding. We are to tell angels what to do. Last night, when I was praying over Tyler, I was going, Tyler, in the name of Jesus, I pray angels over your vehicle. I pray safety, that angels may guard you. Why? Because angels are to do my bidding for Tyler. So what do I believe? I believe that angels were all around Tyler's vehicle as he went home. Take your place in the kingdom of God. Know what you can do by the power of God. Know what you can do by what you speak in the power of God. Know the authority that God has given you. So what? You may keep people safe. You may bring healing to people so that you may know the kind of power you have. So that what? God may be glorified. We'll get to that more here in a minute. Understand the power that you have in God. And all we got to do is what? We don't have to go. We don't have to pour water on it. We don't have to go. We don't have to go rub oil on it. We don't have to do anything special. We just have to speak it. And it will be done. There are scriptures. Let me finish this one, because we're about to go into another one. This is verse 11. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which He has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, none of this could have happened until what? Through Jesus Christ came to the earth to do. It is through His death, and it's through His resurrection that this kicked in. It was like flipping the switch. It's because now through Him, we are able to. Because what? We accepted Him. Man, salvation comes with it just a whole host of benefits. And we need to know. It's just not getting to go to heaven. But it's actually having heaven come down to earth and us living as kingdom people and the power thereof. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, listen to this, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I had a guy come in there, and he sectioned out this one scripture, and he says, is that true? How can that be? I said, well, it is true because it's in scripture, it's in the Bible. And he said, no, how can I say to that mountain, be cast into the sea? It's not going to happen. I said, there has to be purpose. Jesus is not Santa Claus. He's not going to do it because you wish it or because you say it. He's going to do it because there's purpose. Because you have a purpose that God says, God wants you to build a plant there. And that mountain is in the way. So He's going to do everything that you need to get that plant put in that place. And if you need that mountain to be removed, then He's going to move the mountain. That's what's going to happen. But if you just want to do party tricks and say, mountain, be cast into the sea, He's not going to do that. I hope some of you got the app, The Chosen. And y'all been watching it. We watched it again this weekend. There's a scene where Jesus is camping in his tent, and he's building a fire. And he has two sticks, and he's rubbing this stick and to make this fire. And I looked at Cole. I said, this is Jesus. Why is he rubbing two sticks together? Why can't he just go, bzzz? Why can't he do that? And Cole's laughing at him. He goes, he's not a superhero. I said, he's Jesus. Why can't he do that? Because he's human. Because he's man. Anyway, the next scene is he's got this huge campfire going. The issue is he only did what his father told him to do. So, Cole had this interesting observation. He said, now, Jesus could have called down fire if he wanted to. Well, sure. But that's not the issue. The issue was, it also showed that Jesus was carving out these little toys, and he had cut himself. And so he was putting some salve on it and then wrapping it. Come on, this is Jesus. Healed. It didn't work that way. Jesus didn't do party tricks. Jesus had to, and he put bandage around it, and And Jesus was a man. And was tempted at all points as we were. You know? In John 14, 10 through 14, says, "Do you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say that on my own authority and in my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works, his own miracles, deeds of power. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least in the works that I do in my Father's name, convince you. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. And I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name." Whatever you ask. But we must be about our Father's business. We must be about what He says. That is key. That is what He wants. James 4, 1 through 3. "What leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts and quarrels and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger, and you are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek, so you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them, and yet you fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire, you spend it in sensual pleasures." He says, "I'll give you whatever you ask as long as it's for the purposes of God." Yeah. So, what's he saying? Always keep your heart right. Always keep your heart right with God. It's always interesting when Jesus spoke with a demon. In Mark 1:23, just at that time there was in their synagogue a man who was in the power of an unclean spirit. Now he raised a deep and terrible cry from the depths of his throat, saying, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hush up, be muzzled and gagged, and come out of him." He spoke, and they were delivered. He didn't. I've been in some deliverance services. I've been to some deliverance places. I'll save the story for sometime else. But there were times that all Jesus did was just speak, and they were gone. The demons left. In Acts, there was another time where seven sons of Sceva tried to deliver, and the demons looked at them and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the demons beat them up, stripped them naked, and they left. See, they spoke, but they didn't have the relationship with God that they needed to get it done. See, we need to be connected. Connected to the Lord. I want to ask you a question. It's a question that people have asked me. Can Christians have a demon? I think the Scripture clearly tells us a Christian can have whatever they want. And so many Christians are so flippant about their commitment to Christ that they don't take their commitment seriously. And so therefore, they come to a place in their life where Jesus actually says, "Will you still follow me if you have to give up this idol in your life?" And they say, "Ah, not really. I still want that in my life." And Jesus is okay. I'm not going to force you to do anything. But then God takes His hand off of their life. And I'm not talking about they're going to hell. I'm not saying they're not. But His blessing in their life is not as forthcoming as it once was. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Let me read this out of the Amplified. "Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord." Verse 15, "Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another to see that no one falls back and falls to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled by it." That means if you let a resentment or a bitter root creep up into your heart, then that just penetrates and it starts to defile many. It defiles more than just you. People are confronted. God gives you a chance. God gives you a chance to repent. But if you get that chance and you neglect it, God says, "Then go your way." And that root of bitterness comes and you become bitter. and it will defile many. And then all of a sudden you're going, what went wrong? And you got to look back. When did you deny the Lord? But you know what it is? You lost faith in God's way. You weren't willing to go God's way and believe that God was able to fix that thing God's way. And you felt like, I felt I had to do it my way or I was going to lose everything. Or what I thought was everything. I've seen it time and time again. You've got to be able to go God's way and have faith that God's going to work it out. God's going to be able to do it. Speak blessings over your city. We have the power to bless. Tom, do you know the scripture about stand in the gap? We should stand in the gap for the city.
Give me a little bit of
time. Okay. Proverbs 11:11. This one you should commit to memory. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Ooh. We need to be people who bless our community. We need to be people who bless our where we live. We need to be people who bless our house. We need to be people who bless our families. We need to be people who speak good things. God gave that to you. And what is it that you look at and you say, oh man, look at what I have. It's just terrible. Well, then all you're looking at is the bad stuff. God can put great things in your life. You can have what you speak. You can have what you speak. Know that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what we are speaking, we do not doubt, and we shall have what we say. What is our heart full of? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. We are in a war. We are definitely in a war. What king or what kingdom do we represent? We have the kingdom of God, and we have another king, another kingdom that's trying to vie for your life. Which do you represent? I'm telling you, negativity and the things that go on in a person's life can be what you speak and what you say. Things that you speak have power. And the story that I asked Tom to look up is, and I sought a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Oh my gosh. In Esther, he says, I put you in this land for such a time as this. You are in this land for such a time as this. It's not a coincidence that you're living in this time, that you are planted and located in this time and in this place. For what? To be the one that stands in the gap. I am. I know I am. And what happens to happen on my watch. I have to be the one that stands in the gap. So It falls on me. And it's not because I do it, but it's because I didn't follow Christ close enough. That would be my downfall.
Watch your tongue, huh? Watch your tongue. In the last day or two, I was speaking about the scripture that said, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then also then slow to anger. I think that's kind of the result of that. If you're quick to listen and slow to speak, you can also be slow to anger. But we are many times very, very quick to speak. Part of that is our cleverness, our wittiness, whatever. You know, you got to be cute, like Arthur said, trying to be funny. But quick to listen. Let's be there. Yeah. Everybody on Facebook, I apologize again for the glitches. Even the iPad fell over this morning. It's just Tom's up there holding it while I can go fix it again. Anyway, I'll be glad when everybody can just show up here, but glad to have that opportunity for those who are staying home to still join us. So, anything else before we go? I saw the look on her face. She's like, shut up, Jimmy, I want to say something.
So last week, you know, I remember I was telling you guys how I had been doing yard work and I was standing outside. I was like with my mouth open and Rick's like, what are you doing? And I told him I'm drinking an ice cold beer. It tastes so good. Remember me telling you, think being funny. My words are really, you think it, you speak it, and then you act on it. And I'm coming up on 2 years clean and sober. Don't clap. I wanted to drink so bad yesterday. You know what I mean? The enemy kept like, well, there's nobody here. Rick's gone. It's not like you can't stop. But I know for me, it separates me from God. You know, because one beer for me turns into a bottle of whiskey, turns into, you get me drunk enough, I'll shoot dope. That's just how it is. And I wanted to drink so bad, and I thought, man, I'm gonna have to call Pastor. I'm gonna call Jimmy. I'm gonna call somebody. And so I just started calling out to God, and He just spoke to me. He said, Jimmy didn't save you from your drug addiction. Pastor didn't save you. Come to me. And I mean, I just called out to God. I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. And 1 minute turned into 5 minutes, and 5 minutes turned into an hour, an hour turned into it's 11 o'clock and I went to bed. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to share that as much as I wanted to drink, as much as I was scared, keys were in my hand. You know what I mean? And I was even talking to myself because my landlord owns the liquor store. You know what I mean? And I've given her my testimony. I'm like, I'm going to drive to stinking Odessa and go get me a bottle of whiskey. I mean, I was talking it out in my head. I'm going to go to Odessa and get me a bottle of whiskey. I'll drive back home. Nobody will ever know. Be my little secret kind of thing. And I just called out to God. And I mean, He just showed up. He just showed up in there and He just gave me a peace. Like I said, 5 minutes turned into 30 minutes, turned into an hour, turned into it's 11:30 at night. Go to bed. And I just thanked Him and thanked Him and thanked Him. But I just want to share, no matter what you go through, no matter what it looks like, if you'll just call out to Him and ask Him for help and trust, you may not feel like He's helping, but look at it in the big picture. I didn't go. I put the keys down. I'm like, you know, everybody knows I kind of got a mouth on me. I'm like, son of a... You know what I mean? But I didn't drink. I didn't drink. And today I wanted to give that testimony because that's where the power is. The power of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You know what I mean? And so I just wanted to share that because the enemy is, there is a demon assigned to every one of us to come kill, steal, and destroy, that when I spoke that, he said, I got her. And he waited for the right opportunity for me to want to drink. Here's the opportunity, you can drink and nobody will know. You know what I mean? And so because he's assigned to kill, steal, and destroy, and I gave him the ammunition to shoot those fiery darts at me, praise God that the word is in me and on the tablets of my heart, that I could pull that shield of faith out. I could pull out my sword, my word, and call upon the Lord. And he showed up and he said, I got your back. Yes. So no matter what it looks like, just call out to him, guys. Just do it. And I just wanted to share that with you because I wanted to take all power away from the enemy.
Amen. You know, we use this scripture mostly concerning, you know, coming to God in the first place, coming to Jesus and being saved initially. But he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved over and over. He brought you up out of the muck again, that momentary muck. Thank God. And I appreciate the testimony. It's encouraging to everybody. Because we all get in some muck every once in a while. So, thanks. Y'all have a great week.